Good morning. Morning. Can you hear me? Somewhere my voice went down. Thank you to the worship group. That was an amazing time of worship. Amazing. Just praise the Lord for that. And really, I don't feel really I have anything to say this morning because I think everything has been sung and everything has been said. It's good to, and the Lord confirms the word that you've been given. And sometimes you sort of doubt, don't you? But anyway, so if you're taking notes this morning and you want a title for this morning's word, it's Where Are You Going? Where are you going? Just read first of all from Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Funny enough, I mean, I've been praying, obviously, about what the Lord wants me to bring this morning. And, you know, you're still not really certain of that. And when I was reading the word yesterday morning, part of my daily reading, basically it said the same thing. And it said at the end of it, it's not so much where you're going, but who you're following. So I thought it all tied in together. So that was quite encouraging. Because it's an awesome responsibility, bringing the word of God. As I'm sure that everybody here has brought or bringing the word of God will agree. Because we live in days where people generally deny God because they want to live godless lives. I came on something in my preparations, that's something that's regarding Billy Graham. I've heard a lot about Billy Graham lately. You learn a lot more. This was Billy Graham's prayer for the United States, but I believe it equally applies for this country, if not more. This is what he said. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that is exactly what we have done as a nation. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn children and called it choice. We have neglected to discipline our children and calling it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from sin and set us free. Amen. Amen. And he went on to say, with the Lord's help, may this prayer sweep over our nation and wholeheartedly become our desire, so that we will once again be called one nation under God. As I say, I think you'll agree that this is a prayer for our nation at this time. I was also reading something else about Billy Graham, and it was just after he died. And apparently one of his sons found in a letter in a drawer meant to be opened after his death. And it said, by the time that you read this letter, many people will be saying that Billy Graham is dead. And he says in this letter, don't you believe them. I will never have been so alive. And I think we can say that for our dear brothers and sisters who have gone before us. They have never been so alive, because they know Jesus, and that's where they will be. So where do I go from this? I believe that the Almighty God, because that's what we've been singing today, isn't it? Beautiful words. The Almighty God wants you to know today, wants me to know today, that it's vital that you not only know where you've been, but where you are going. In fact, it's a lot more vital that you know where you're going than where you've been. There are only two destinations. You may read in the papers and magazines that that's not the case, but there are only two destinations, because that's what the Word of God says. But make sure that you are heading in the right direction by asking Jesus into your life as your Lord, your Savior. Because the verse I quoted at the start again, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now this scripture actually exposes a lie, and that will keep you from gaining self-control of your life. And that is, once a failure, always a failure. You may say, I've tried to quit my bad habits. In fact, I've tried over and over again. But I guess I'll never be able to get control of this. This is a lie of the devil. Paul says, although we are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We may be struck down, but not devastated. One version says, we get knocked down, but we get up again, and we keep going. That's from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 9. Have you ever watched a baby trying to learn to walk? I'm sure you have. They fall down a lot, don't they? But they don't stay down. They keep on trying, and ultimately, they succeed. How far do you think they would get if they just gave up and said, now, some people were meant to be walkers, and some were not. And obviously, I was never meant to walk. It's ridiculous, isn't it? And that's us. Failure in your past does not mean that you'll never be able to change. But focusing on past failures does guarantee their repetition. Don't look back, look forward. It's like driving a car, isn't it? If you're looking in your rear view mirror and you're not looking where you're going, you're going to collide with something. You have to put your past behind you. No one had more failures than I was reading than Thomas Edison. Most of us would have given up, but not him. He once said, "Don't call it a failure, call it an education." Now I know what doesn't work, I can put that behind me. So it's a springboard, really, to success. A winner is simply someone who gets back up one more time than they fall down. So the second word for you today is, with the Lord's help, you will stand. You will stand. Fear will paralyze you. I know that. And paralyze your future. There used to be a cartoon years ago. Carol and I always sort of talk about it. I think it was in the 70s. That's far back for most of you. And it was called "Wait Till Your Father Gets Home." And we used to love it. And if you've never heard of it, look it up on YouTube. And in it, there's a neighbour in it who I think must have started Neighbourhood Watch. His whole life, in essence, is ruled by fear, but he doesn't know it. He's actually terrified of the communists at the time. And he was always talking about the commies. And he's always saying to his neighbour, Harry, "You can't do that, Harry. Haven't you read the papers lately?" And that was his stock answer to everything. I was watching a clip the other day. I thought, oh, I'll have a look at that on YouTube, as I say. And he was walking home from work, and he said to Harry, as he was about to go through the park, Harry, you can't go through the park. And Harry said, why can't I go through the park? He said, haven't you read the papers lately, Harry? The commies are in the park, and they will attack the likes of you and me. So he didn't go through the park. And just after that, he goes into a shop to buy boiled water. And Harry said, why are you going into the shop to buy water? And he says, because I don't trust the water in the taps. I'm sure they will have planted something in the water. So he's obviously terrified there. And when he comes out, he finds Harry on the floor with a big bump on his head. He says, Harry, what happened? He says, I guess those commies have come out of the park. Fear catches up on you in the end. I remember somebody speaking at Kingsway some time ago, and the first thing he said was, do you know who you are? I thought that seemed a strange thing to say, but I repeat that message to you today, this morning, 22nd of April, 2018. Do you know who you are? I'm not saying, do you know who the world says that you are, or other people say that you are, even who your friends say you are, but do you know who you are yourself? So no matter how many mistakes you've made in the past, how many people have given up, and you may be even given up on yourself, to be honest, but be assured that God never gives up on you. That doesn't mean that he turns a blind eye to what you've done, but he wants you to become all that he knows that you can be, all that you were created for. If you read the scriptures and you miss the story of salvation, you have missed its message and its meaning, which we will see when we start the final 6 weeks of the whiteboard group that John was talking about earlier. There have been those actually who have gone through the Bible, people a lot cleverer than me, and traced the story of Jesus from Genesis right through Revelation. He said, in Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is the atoning sacrifice. In Numbers, he is the smitten rock. In Deuteronomy, he is the greatest prophet. In Joshua, he is the captain of the Lord's host. In Judges, he is the deliverer. In Kings, he is the promised king. In Nehemiah, he is the restorer of the nation. In Esther, he is the advocate. In Job, he is my redeemer. In Psalms, he is my shepherd. In Proverbs, he is my pattern. In Ecclesiastes, he is my goal. In the Song of Solomon, he is my satisfier. In the books of the prophets, he is my coming Prince of Peace. And in the Gospels, he is the one who came to seek and to save the lost. In Acts, he is our risen Lord. In the Epistles, he is our representative at the Father's right hand. And in Revelation, he is our returning Lord. He is the bedrock of our faith and is still the bedrock of our faith. Christ's virgin birth, his sinless life, his atoning death, his victorious resurrection, his mediatory work, and his visible return as King of Kings. Quite simply, he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. I hope that excites you. Yes. Certainly excites me. The Lord wants to bless you. And that's not my word. That's God's word. He wants to bless you. But what I can say to you today is that no blessing goes uncontested. Don't be discouraged by the difficulties that you are going through. I know we are going through countless difficulties. But I know, even though sometimes I listen to the enemy and I get down and discouraged, I need to keep my eyes on the Lord. I need to stand on what his word says. God will bless us in amazing and wonderful and unusual ways. However, it was true of the people of God in the Old Testament and of the disciples of Jesus, and it will also be true in our lives. I was reading something again the other week in part of my readings, and one of the things that really came out was that no blessing goes uncontested. God wants to bless, but we have an enemy who wants to discourage you. But we know who will win. Our God always wins. In Psalm 41, verse 1 to 6, and in this psalm, you see that part of the, he wants to contest and control us by trouble, sickness, and slander. It says, blessed is the one who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Note that. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sickbed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. You see in that psalm that nothing's new, is it? Nothing's new. You know, slanderers coming against them, you know. My enemies speak evil of me. I think sometimes it's not just enemies. But we know what the Lord says in that psalm. He will bless us. He will deliver us in time of trouble. And he will preserve us and keep us alive, because that's God. Another thing is that blessings are contested by Satan and demonic powers, because that's where they're at. That's what they want to do. But they are defeated of foe already. In Luke 10, verse 17 to 20, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That is amazing, isn't it? You know, don't rejoice in the fact that you've got authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But more than this, rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. That is amazing. Thank you, Lord, for that my name is written in heaven, and each one of us that knows Jesus as the Lord and Saviour. Lord, help me to not be put off by attacks because you've given me that authority. So those are the blessings that is contested by Satan and demonic powers, which we know. We see that all around us as well, don't we? These blessings are also contested by problems, burdens, and disputes. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29 to 33. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son and all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all of that, you did not believe the Lord your God who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. That's amazing, isn't it? The more you read in the Word of God, the more you see how God wants to bless you and wants to protect you. And all the things that we read in the Word of God are for you, not against you. We have power. We have authority. I think sometimes we just allow the devil just to get at us. And we believe the enemy. You know, we're just reading in Deuteronomy. You know, that they didn't believe God. Even though he was saying he's going to give them everything. He will protect them. They doubted. I think we need to remember, you know, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. The final part of this word for you today is, and it's a reminder again, finish the race. Finish the race. My prayer for you today, that if you forget every word, any word I have spoken today, that you never, ever forget the word spoken. In a video I'm going to show you. And it lasts 9 minutes. So I pray that you never forget the words in this 9-minute video by somebody who finished the race. I pray that will have input on your life and upon my life, I pray. And not just today, but forever. And as this video is drawn to a close, and if the worship group could please come up just at the end of that. You can come up early if you want to. I'll just pray before we show the video. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've promised in your word, Father, never to leave us, never to forsake us, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you have set a path for us to go, Lord. Lord, even again, as from your word, Father, we read at the very beginning, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Lord, help us today, Lord. Help me to press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Just pray, Lord, we will be focused upon you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just stand upon your word, Father, because your word never changes. Your word is settled in heaven, and you have a plan for us, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that that's not just in this life, but, Lord, throughout eternity. But Father, we just commit each one of us here this morning, Father. Lord, that nothing will be snatched away from anybody today, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you will speak to every heart, Lord, this morning, to encourage, to challenge, and to bless. In Jesus' name, amen.